Lucky Land Slots, you can get lucky just about anywhere.
Dearly beloved, we are gathered here today to... Has anyone seen the bride and groom?
Sorry, sorry, we're here. We were getting lucky in the limo and we lost track of time.
No, Lucky Land Casino, with cash prizes that add up quicker than a guest registry.
In that case, I pronounce you lucky.
Play for free at LuckyLandSlots.com. Daily bonuses are waiting. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
Warning. This show contains adult political themes and language. Liberals and little children should cover their ears.
Welcome to Liberty Never Sleeps, where negativity never sounded so good. Now here's your host, Thomas Purcell.
Good morning and welcome to Liberty Never Sleeps. Make sure to follow the show on our website at libertyneversleeps.com and be sure to follow our Twitter feed at Real Liberty Tom, and then join us on Facebook at Real Liberty Never Sleeps on facebook.com. Good morning, Monday morning. Monday morning, after that debacle on Friday with the Kavanaugh hearings. That's all I can say is flake. You got a Republican masquerading as a Democrat in Congress, and it's Jeff Flake. This is the most ridiculous thing I've ever seen on that Kavanaugh hearing. Dr. Ford testifying about a horrible situation, which from her testimony, it's very clear to me that something happened to her years ago, but all of the evidence presented in that mock trial of Brett Kavanaugh, which accused him of being a rapist and a drunk to boot. I mean, everyone's talking about the rape, but there's also the fact that they're actually accusing him and they're focusing on his supposed drinking problem, which didn't turn up in six FBI hearings. Jeff Flake's response, the quote-unquote compromise they came to in the halls afterwards, is absolutely fucking ridiculous. You have a woman who's obviously a damaged woman, psychologically damaged from something that happened to her at a young age. It's clear it did. Something did. You know, from her testimony, from the way she testified, from the description of it, her credibility is not in question. My question is, her accusation of Brett Kavanaugh is completely fictitious. There is no evidence, none, that Brett Kavanaugh attacked her at any time. All of the people who were there and present, who were listed witnesses, all say that it wasn't Brett Kavanaugh, or they weren't in the room at the time, or that he wasn't at the party. Brett Kavanaugh has supplied substantial evidence that he was not there that night. How this has gotten to this point is beyond me, other than the narrative of the war on women, which is what we're going to focus on today, because there is a war on women. There is a war on femininity. There is a war on sexuality, but it's not from the Republican Party and it's not from men. And we're going to discuss the real war on women that's going on in our society and what has to be done about it and what should be done about it. But I want to open with Jeff Flake. Anyone who thinks that scene in the elevator where he's confronted by an angry protester, anyone who thinks that that's a real scene or that Jeff Flake wasn't in on it is out of their fucking mind. First of all, that is a Senate elevator. It's a back elevator. It is reserved for senators moving to and from meeting rooms and committee situations. In other words, there's a Senate chamber, a judiciary chamber, and then there's the main chairman. There's meeting levels below it and access to exits to the building. That is a Senate elevator. It is a guarded elevator, and you cannot approach a senator without having some guard prevent you from entering the elevator. The aide that was with Jeff Flake at the time was holding the elevator door open, and the guard was nowhere to be present. You're out of your mind if you don't think that was a scene. It was a scene set up so that Jeff Flake could go back and say, well, you know, I had this confrontation, or so that the rest of the world could see the emotional response, so that you would buy into Jeff Flake being complicit in some sort of cockamamie deal to prolong this absolute mess of a hearing. And I don't want to attack Ford. There's all kinds of horrible things about Dr. Ford being posted. All kinds of horrible things about Kavanaugh. They're absolutely, absolutely slandering him in the media. All kinds of wild accusations. All kinds of made-up photos on both of them. This is a complete circus, and it's a farce. It has nothing to do with the truth. Jeff Flake was on, I think it was 60 Minutes. I was watching an interview with him. And he was like, well, you know, this political situation, this divisiveness and this tribalism in society is dividing us apart. No, Jeff, you're the one who's dividing us up. This should have been over by now. And now we have another week of divisive behavior, of stories in the media, of slandering Brett Kavanaugh. And the guy is going to get approved. That's the tragic thing. This is the horrible thing. That he's going to get approved after being dragged through the mud, after being his credibility being destroyed, so that any decision that comes down from Jet Kavanaugh, from Brett Kavanaugh, is going to be suspect and going to be cannon fodder for a war on women. That's what this is all about. It's all about the Clintons, getting the media ginned up, getting the people ginned up to hate Brett Kavanaugh. Brett Kavanaugh said it best. He said it in the chamber. This is a political hit. It's clearly a political hit. It has nothing to do with Dr. Ford. Dr. Ford's clearly being manipulated. We know she's being manipulated. She provided a letter to Feinstein saying, listen, I've had this problem about Brett Kavanaugh for years. I've mentioned it in therapist sessions. Going back, I mean, some witnesses are saying that some of the accusations that she was attacked at some point in her life went back to 1998. There's no question something happened. I'm not questioning Dr. Ford. But it's easy to manipulate somebody who's an emotional train wreck, and you can see that. You know, when someone goes through the situation that Dr. Ford went through, they're not right in the head. They're never right in the head. They have issues, and she's clearly an emotional person to begin with, right? She's one of those people that becomes a professional victim in her whole life, that people take advantage of, that people manipulate. And she was clearly manipulated. She went to the Senate and she provided a confidential letter. And she said, listen, I don't want to come. I want you to hold this in confidentiality, which is what the Senate Judiciary Committee is supposed to do. That's why it was formed, to provide a confidential forum by which the Senate can advise and consent the president on the process of selecting a Supreme Court nominee. Feinstein takes this letter and gives it to the media. I don't care what she says, what her staff says. There was somebody complicit in giving that story to the media. And it came from Feinstein's office. It couldn't have come from any other place. And don't give me this nonsense about Feinstein saying, well, you know, she told other people, other friends. How would they know that she filed a letter in complete confidentiality? She says in the letter. Dr. Ford says, "Look, please keep this confidential." She wouldn't have told friends, well, I sent this confidential letter to Dianne Feinstein during this whole process. Of course not. And she provided to those hounds in the press. And of course, naturally, the press latched on and went, we've got to talk to Ford. And somebody paid for that polygraph. It was clearly a critical point that they're just glossing over. Who paid for it? Who set it up? How did the media get this letter? That's where the FBI investigation has to focus on, because it's a violation of everything that we believe in this country. Just go to the hood. Forget about it. We'll just forget about it. We'll forget about who's paying for it. We'll forget about who. Second of all, how did Dr. Ford get in an airport hotel if she's afraid to fly? Didn't anybody ask that question? The clips, she even says in her testimony, I provided a video clip on our Facebook page. She says in her testimony, well, Senator Feinstein chose to hold this letter to the end of the thing. She knew it was being held. She knew that it would be revealed, too, at the last minute. She's being manipulated. So anything that comes out of her mind can't be used for any kind of credibility issue. Shouldn't be even shown in that or heard in that Senate chamber. Why was it done on camera? Why wasn't this done in confidential setting? Well, okay, you come in and talk to the Senate Judiciary. Cameras won't be in the courtroom because this is a serious and sensitive. Instead, you turned it into a circus. And Chuck Grassley is part of it too. And now behind the scenes, all of the senators are all going to get together and they're all going to talk about who gets what in order for this thing to go forward. That's all that's going on right now during the whole week. And the FBI, I mean, Brett Kavanaugh is in the hands of Team Clinton right now. And what happens to him? What happens to him when all these articles come out day after day, all of these accusations, and you know something will come out at the last minute to hold up the vote again and again and again? They're going to try and hold up this nomination and this process for another 4 years. It's ridiculous. I mean, it's absolutely ridiculous. There is no justice in this country, at least not for a Senate, a Supreme Court nominee. No question there's no justice. How many times have Republican nominees been dragged through the mud? I can list them right now. Robert Bork. Remember how bad Samuel Alito? Remember his according to him, he only got through like a 58-42 vote because the Republicans controlled the Senate and they got a couple of swing votes. Robert Bork didn't even make it. Then there's the case of Doug Ginsburg. Well, in that case, they got the conservatives to get all up on him because apparently Doug Ginsburg took a toke on a joint in high school. And they dragged him through the mud. He didn't get in. Harriet Myers. Oh, she's not credible. She shouldn't be on the court. I mean, it's nonstop. A Republican cannot get on the court. The last nominee that a Republican got nominated or a conservative got nominated to the court that went relatively smooth, was, I think, Scalia, which was in the, I think, what was it, 30-something years ago, a Reagan appointee? It's ridiculous. A Republican cannot nominate somebody to the Supreme Court without going through the mud. And it gets to a point where nobody wants to accept the nomination. And listen, no matter who they nominated, it didn't matter if it was the right Brett Kavanaugh. No matter who they nominated, we're going to get destroyed. It's just that Brett Kavanaugh has a history with the Clintons, and the Clintons don't want anyone on the court that's going to be a strict constitutionalist or a hard right-wing judge. When was the last time a hard right-winger got on the Supreme Court? There hasn't been. Judge Roberts isn't. There hasn't been a hard right since Scalia. Then they won't allow it. That's what the advised consent means? You're getting to a point where the independence of the Supreme Court is on trial. Because if you have a Supreme Court nominee, right, that can't get into the Supreme Court because they need to answer to Congress, then the independence of the court becomes suspect and becomes politicized, and then you've got a serious problem in this country. You have a violation of the separation of powers, and no one understands that, and no one's even discussing it. No one on the talk shows, everyone's talking about the credibility of Ford. See, that was the Republicans' problem. That was the problem because Jeff Flake made it. You made the court hearing of Dr. Ford versus Brett Kavanaugh, you made it about credibility instead of about evidence. You put it in front of the cameras, you destroyed Dr. Ford, you destroyed Brett Kavanaugh, and you didn't care, I give a damn, and now they're all going to go on back deals in the halls of Congress, in little meeting rooms where they all work out, well, I'll vote for him if I get this. And it's sickening. That's what Congress has become, little fiefdoms of power. It's the worst now that I've ever seen it. And mainly, it's Jeff Flake. Oh, I can't, you know, this country is so tribalism and it's so horrible, everybody fighting with each other. Well, why did you prolong the process for another week? The entire country is tearing itself apart. The best solution is to end it. Either take a vote or don't. Vote them down then, for Christ's sake. Stop this constant bickering. That's the problem. He's right about that. The divisiveness in the country is a problem, but you're adding to it. You're not stopping it. He's clearly taking his orders from Team Clinton, just like John McCain did. Bunch of corrupt guys in Congress. And people are all like, they're showing that clip of him in the elevator with this mad woman who obviously went through a terrible situation, screaming about, well, you're minimizing what happened to her. What does what happened to her have anything to do with this court hearing? Well, you're saying that my rape doesn't count. What do you mean? What are you talking about? What does that have to do with Brett Kavanaugh? No one says this. And he just stood there. He stood there with his head down. You know, typical beta male. It's the year of the beta male. It really is. War on women. Give me a break. The war on women is being conducted by the Democrats. They've been doing it for 30 years. I'm going to get into some of it today because I'm mad. I'm mad about the whole situation. Maybe it was the movie I saw over the weekend. You know, it was one of those things that came up in the Netflix queue. If you have Netflix, you have a queue of movies. And usually what I do is I put any movie that's coming out in the queue because I'm a movie guy. I love movies. I hate TV, but I love movies. Well, Ocean's 8, you know, the movie with the eight women, the Ocean's 11 remake or Ocean's 11 or Ocean's 13 or whatever the frig they're on now. They finally made it with all women. And I was originally going to see the movies. I thought, okay, that's an interesting retake on it. Well, let's have all women. But it was like everyone in the reviews were saying, oh, it's so great. And it's all these women and it's really cool. And the music and the action. And I'm like, all right. I didn't want to take a risk in the movies because I got a whiff that it was another agenda movie. And I watched it over the weekend. I got to tell you, it was one of the worst pieces of shit I've ever seen. The script was uninteresting. It was preposterous. It had a ridiculous end. There was no twist, entirely predictable. The dialogue was terrible. It was just stupid. You know, and it's a shame. And it's a shame because we're going to talk about it today. Because every one of those actresses was a good actress. And they put him in a plot, in a movie that's an absolute piece of garbage. I could have written a better script sitting on the shitter. And that was terrible. I mean, it was just, I was watching, I'm like, oh my God, this is horrible. It was so ridiculous. Plot holes you could drive a Buick through. I don't want to belabor on Ocean's 8. I want to talk about the war on women. First in the halls of Congress, then we're going to talk about it in Hollywood. And then we're going to talk about an advertising and the Justice Department and how we're raising kids today. Let's take a break. I'm just mad this morning because of what's going on in this country, that the country is being torn apart because of people like Jeff Flake. Flake. We'll be right back after this message. Gifts of all sizes help to ensure that Liberty Never Sleeps remains a relevant, vital resource across our nation. More than 70% of the funding for Liberty Never Sleeps comes from our listeners through the generosity of membership support by donating at patreon.com. Join our Insiders Club for $10 a month and gain access to private shows and editorial columns. Go to libertyneversleeps.com and click on the Donate Now button at the top of the page or on the button at our Facebook site. Thank you for your continued support. Now it's all been said and done, dear John. Seems we've sung love's last song, dear John. And we're back. By the way, not to belabor it, but we're a crowdfunded show. I know it's free. Monday through Thursday, but we do have a Friday show. If you donate $10 or more a month to the show, you get access to the Friday show, plus you get on a newsletter and stuff like that. But we are crowdfunded through Patreon. If you don't donate $10 a month, that's fine. If you just want to listen to the free show or whatever. If you could donate $2 or more, that would help us out a lot because with the new Google Analytics, it's important that we have revenues for advertising. The way they're setting it up, if you don't advertise, you don't pay advertise, you get lowered in the rankings. So I've seen a big drop. And if we don't have those like views of the show when we're new, we just don't grow. So either share the show, donate a couple bucks, we could use it. You can donate at our website, libertyneversleeps.com, or you can donate through our Facebook page or our Twitter feed. There's lots of ways you can do it. Just click on the big red orange button on our website, donate now at Patreon. We have gifts if you donate like $25 or $30 or $40 or more per month, and we'll give you like, we've got t-shirts and mugs and all kinds of good stuff. Anyway, moving on. Congress is the worst defender of the war on women. I mean, think about some of the individual senators. And this is not just men. You know, it's not just Ted Kennedy and his whole ridiculous situation of him sitting on the Judiciary Committee. I mean, that guy, the guy's deciding Clarence Thomas. You remember Clarence Thomas? I pulled up the old Saturday Night Live beginning from when they were mocking Senator, when they were mocking Clarence Thomas. If you remember, people were sitting in judgment of his sexual improprieties was Ted Kennedy. I mean, you talk about drunken behavior and poor women with behavior, one of which I experienced in a restaurant. Believe it, this is a true story, at the Ivy years ago. I'm sitting in the Ivy with family. And for those of you who don't know, the Ivy is a fancy restaurant in Los Angeles. This is back when I was living in L.A. It's a high-end restaurant. It's kind of a place where you go to be seen or see and be seen, so to speak. I was sitting in the Ivy, and we're having I think it was brunch. I think it was a Sunday brunch at the Ivy, because it's a kind of a thing. And we're sitting there, and we look over, and there's a loud, boisterous, drunken bunch of guys at a table. And guess who was sitting at the table? Ted Kennedy. It was Ted Kennedy sitting there getting drunk. And I said to my family, I said, you know what? I should go over there and say, hey, this is in Boston. You want to keep it down? And everyone looked at me like, don't do that. Don't piss off Ted Kennedy. You know, it was a kind of a situation. I'm like sitting there trying to have my breakfast or brunch or whatever. And he's, you know, being loud. And you know he was drunk and boisterous, you know, at the Ivy of all places, thinking he acting like he's owning the place. But I'm talking about people like Dianne Feinstein. Here's a woman who's gone through something terrible. I can only imagine the contents and how this woman felt, Dr. Ford felt, when she sends this letter to Dianne Feinstein. I mean, the one thing she didn't want was to have to make a public spectacle of this. Hey, listen, you got to look into this. I had this experience. Brett Kavanaugh did this to me. And I think you should know about it because I don't think it's right that he's on the Supreme Court. Okay, that's fair. You made an accusation. You said, I've had this situation that happened to me. And I've talked about it before. It's documented. I went to this therapist or whatever. And you need to do something about it. Okay. Well, that's fine. That's when you notify the FBI. You notify other members of the Judiciary Committee. And you say, this woman wants to be kept confidential. So let's do that. I think she needs to talk to us, and we'll make arrangements in private for her to visit with the Judiciary or members of the Judiciary Committee. Doesn't have to meet with all committee and discuss the issue, and we'll keep her names on. But she didn't do that. She decided to hold the letter and then at the last minute give it to the press of all people so that they would jump on a clearly damaged woman and get her to testify, get her to do a polygraph in an airport hotel. She testified that she had trouble flying. She was afraid of flying. So where are you going to do a polygraph? In an airport hotel. So clearly you flew her in a situation where she would feel uncomfortable, frightened, and scared. An airport hotel. Were the airplanes going, you know, flying past the room as she was doing the polygraph? It was clearly manipulative of Dr. Ford. And then you get her to do that, and then you make it public, and the Washington Post writes the article, an article which other newspapers avoided, to put both Brett Kavanaugh on the spot and Dr. Ford. And then you drag her up in the committee, and it was delayed until Thursday because she didn't want to testify, and you dragged it out for a week, and you made all these conditions. No, it should have been done in private. It should have been done with no conditions, and it should have been done in confidentiality. And then you can say to Brett Kavanaugh, hey, listen, this woman came forward and made these accusations. What do you have to say about it? And you do it in a private situation. No HR department in the world would do this in a public setting. They would always bring in people confidentiality. And this has been going on for years. It's like when Anita Hill came forward with Clarence Thomas. Why are you doing it in front of the cameras? Why are you not making it confidential? Congress has been going after women for years. You go back on the track history of women's rights and laws that are tried to get through Congress. It's always the Democrats that hold it up. They held up all the restrictions that in the civil rights equal pay laws in 1969. With the equal pay laws, you know who voted against it? The Democrats. You know who voted against the women's suffrage in the 1920s? It was the Democrats. It's always the Democrats. And they always say, well, you know, we have to be sure about this. And these laws don't go far enough. And they make a big scene about it, but they always vote no. They never vote yes. The Democrats have been conducting a war on women for as long as I can remember, certainly in history and certainly historical experience. And it's all about Clinton and getting her elected. War on women. They talk about women's rights. Congress has been trampling women's rights, and it's always from the Democrat side for I don't know how long. And why I don't know why we keep going down this road. And Jeff Flake, like I said, oh, well, you know, we have to be fair to women. Well, why did you drag out the process for another week? I mean, if you believe, Dr. Ford, if you think that that actually happened, why wouldn't you just immediately vote no and say, no, I believe Dr. Ford, that's the end of it. Why do you need an FBI investigation? Why? So that you can drag it out another week? So that you can get people at each other's throats for a whole nother week? This is Congress. It's clearly all about destroying women. It always has been. It's ridiculous. And I want to talk about it more. When you really get down to it, when you really get down to the horrible things that have been happening in women, like with Ted Kennedy, like with Anita Hill, who was another person that was dragged through the mud. You know, people talk about Clarence Thomas. Anita Hill was dragged through the mud. She had an issue with Clarence Thomas. She said he was sexually inappropriate with me on the workplace. Why was that done in front of the camera? Why was Anita Hill dragged through the mud? Now, you think social media is bad now about Dr. Ford? I remember when Anita Hill made the accusation against Clarence Thomas, people were saying all kinds of horrible things about Anita Hill. It's terrible. That no one has been harder on women than the Democrats in Congress. No one has been harder on women than this Judiciary Committee. And they say it's about, you know, well, we can't let Clarence Thomas on the court. Well, we can't let Brett Kavanaugh on the court. No, that's not it. They know full well they haven't got the votes. In the meantime, they're going to destroy women. It's like the argument about minorities. You know, the Democrats are always making the argument about minorities. Well, we need to have these government programs to get. In other words, you think that blacks and minorities like Hispanics can't get ahead in the world, right? So that they need government help to succeed. That's the inherent mentality of the Democrat left. Hillary Clinton is one of the worst. She's always talking about that. Well, we need to promote women. We need to do this and we need to do that. And everything that she does holds back women, holds back true equality. And a big part of it, a big front of it, is the Hollywood. And we're going to talk about that next. I talked about Ocean's 8. But I want to talk about the concept of what's going on in Hollywood and about women. We'll be right back after this brief break. And we're back. War on women, Hollywood. I don't think that any segment of society has been more unfair to women than Hollywood. Think about, I mean, let's start with the Oscar. What is the highest level of honor that you can receive in Hollywood? It's the Oscar, right? The best actress, best supporting actress, this sort of thing. Who wins it? When you talk about women, I mean, there's a separation. There's the best actor, there's the best actress, right? Who wins the Best Actress Award? Who typically wins it? I want you to think about this. And they've given articles on this. It's always women who played a fallen woman or a hooker. Those two types of women. It was always. I can't even remember. I can think of a handful of actresses. You talk about Jane Fonda. What did she win the Oscar for? Clue. She played a hooker. Anne Hathaway played what's-her-face in Les Miserables. Who'd she play? A courtesan. It's always the same thing. Always a fallen woman. I think it was Elizabeth Shue. What did she play? A hooker in leaving Las Vegas. There are at least a dozen women that have won the Oscar in the last few years, and it's always the same story. Fallen woman or a hooker. In other words, a woman who is in some way sexually suspect. Well, who was the woman who played in the Bridges of Madison County who won the Oscar? What is the Bridges of Madison County really about? A woman who it doesn't feel faithful to her husband, and so she sleeps with Clint Eastwood. She wins the Oscar. No, a fallen woman. It's always the same story. Like, that's a, like, that, in other words, if you, it's known in Hollywood, if you want a shot at the Oscar, you have to play a hooker or a fallen woman in some way. And they all fight for those kind of roles. What is the message you're sending to Hollywood actresses? You got to be a hooker to get ahead. Who gets famous when you're young in your career in Hollywood? You're just starting out. How do you get fame? Well, you take a gig or an acting job by taking off your clothes. That really is how you get ahead in Hollywood. That's in other words, you're not going to become a famous actress unless you go topless, unless you do a sex scene. What is the scene that made Sharon Stone famous? It wasn't the first movie that I can remember she made, which was that Mars movie with Schwarzenegger. It was the movie where she spread her legs. What was it with Michael Douglas? You know what I'm talking about. What was the movie that Glenn Close became famous for? It was Dangerous Liaisons, but what was that really made her? It was the Rabbit Boiler movie with Michael Douglas again. It's always that same situation. That's what makes a woman famous. And some people will say, well, it's because that's what entertains men. But it's not. It's about Hollywood destroying women. Who was the most powerful producer in Hollywood for 30 years? Harvey Weinstein, who was an absolute sexual predator. How did he get women jobs? Well, they provided him sexual gratification in some way. And everyone just said, oh, well, that's Harvey. You know, the famous joke from the guy who did, not South Park, Family Guy. I think, what's his name? Not Seth. Yeah, it's Seth Green, I think. Seth MacFarlane. He was introducing the Oscar, you know, handing out the Oscar nominations. You know how they announce they get a couple of actors that do that? And he was announcing the Oscars, and he announced the five best actress nominees. And then he goes, and you women no longer have to be nice to Harvey Weinstein. And everyone snickered. That's the sad part. Everyone in the office, in the audience wasn't horrified. These are Hollywood celebrities and critics and whatnot. They all laughed. What's so funny about that? What's so funny about the casting room couch, which has gone on? And it's still going on in Hollywood. And the Me Too movement, that's not going to solve it. It's not. When you have hundreds of women coming forward with allegations of sexual rape, infidelity, whatever, what I call sexual improprieties, you know, like hitting on women nonstop and that kind of thing. When you talk about that, it's notorious. It's still going on. You're bringing them forward without any evidence, without any credibility. All you're doing is shaming women. That's what Hollywood does, is shame a woman left and right. People talk about that show Game of Thrones, right? I've never watched it. You know why? Because every time I put the damn thing on, it's some woman getting ass raped by an actor. And I mean, every time I put it on, it's like somebody getting it from behind, somebody getting ass raped. It's always the same situation, and it's always a virginal woman or being shamed, like that famous scene that I always see in memes and stuff about her, a woman walking naked while people throw stones and stuff on her. What has that got to do with entertainment? You don't need to show that. That's not necessary. Every time I put on any show like that, remember all these TV shows, which are like really famous, all these miniseries. That, like, Spartacus, Genghis Khan. Remember all these miniseries are like 10 or 15 shows or series that start Game of Thrones? What are they all about? They're about the dehumanization and debasing of women. In every case, it's always a sex scene. Well, everybody watches the sex scene in Genghis. I'm turning on sex. And I'm not opposed to that. I'm not a prude. But it's like it goes on for 5 and 10 minutes. There's no reason to show it. Other than titillation, other than getting people to tune in, let's tune in. You know, if you do a search on Game of Thrones and you just look for scenes on YouTube, you know what you always get? Jason Momoa raping somebody. That's what you get. You go Game of Thrones scenes. You know, you want to see scenes, and it's always somebody getting horribly killed or horribly raped. That's That's the Hollywood that they're showing. That's how, what Hollywood thinks of women. You talk about the war on women. The war on women isn't going on about in the workplace. There's no glass ceiling. It's becoming more – women have been breaking the glass ceiling for years. There have been women CEOs, women – certainly women managers in different fields and industries. There's no separation there. There's no glass ceiling that I can think of. And they talk about it like it's a real thing. Oh, well, we talk about inequality of pay. Let's talk about inequality of pay. Most of these inequality of pay that they talk about, women are not getting paid as much as men, they're not separating it by class or profession. They're lumping everybody in together when they come up with these statistics. Well, naturally, women have chosen professions that pay typically less. When you examine it, you find that more women go into nursing rather than into doctoring when it comes to medicine. You'll find more women go into various professions in various ways. Women typically are defense attorneys rather than prosecution, typically work for government rather than private industry. That's why lawyers, there's a separation of wealth there. And they never break it out. If you look at it profession by profession, you'll find when you separate it out that women are paid as equal, if not more, than men. There are all kinds of programs to provide women just access to getting funds to start their own business. Look at Fox News. Look at your mainstream media stations, CBS, Fox News, ABC. Who's on the TV every morning? It's women. Do you think that a political analyst with a face like a manhole cover like me can get on a TV show? I was talking with somebody on Facebook. I don't understand why your show isn't mainstream. Why people don't more listen to the show? Because I'm an old graybeard. People don't want to have me on the television. I don't make a pretty face. Who is chosen as a political analyst on Fox News? Marie Harf? What is Marie Harf? No, she should be managing an Aeropostale somewhere. There, she's no offering nothing of political analysis. And this is not about me. This is about true political analysis. You look at the experts, the ones that really know something about politics. They're not on TV. They're not brought forward. They always bring women bloggers who know nothing about it, who have no context, no historical context. They're young women with degrees from Northwestern in communications, not even journalism. That women have more opportunities now than they have ever had. And what they do is they deliberately bring forward women in a situation where they're in an unequal footing to promote what? Attractiveness instead of what? Intellect. You never see anyone in Hollywood portraying women in any kind of an intellectual fashion. Very rarely. And when they do, like what I saw with Ocean's 8, it's in such a ridiculous kind of situation. It's all about cleavage. It's not about what they're doing. Why is it you think that's going on? Who runs Hollywood? It's the left wing. The left wing has been running Hollywood for the last 30 years. Reagan's Hollywood, old Hollywood's gone. In old Hollywood, when you look back in historical context of Hollywood, which has always been debasing to women. You know, as I said, the casting room couch, the fact that the Oscar always goes to women that are hookers or fallen women. There have been numerous articles on it. It's not just me saying it. When you look back at old Hollywood portrayed women of strength. I can give you examples. Betty Davis. Who portrayed a woman of strength more than Betty Davis? You think anyone took advantage of Betty Davis? You think her movie showed women as weak or victims? Of course not. Marlena Dietrich is another good example. Right? A Marlena Dietrich character or the actress herself wouldn't exist, doesn't exist in Hollywood today. It just doesn't. You don't see that. She would never survive in today's Hollywood. When you put a side-by-side comparison of old Hollywood actresses and today's women actresses years ago were much more powerful than they are today. If you want a contemporary example of that, think about Sigourney Weaver in Alien. Right? There's a strong contemporary female character. Nobody talked about it in that way back when it happened. Back when she made a breakthrough movie in both Alien and its sequel, Aliens, where she did the whole mother thing with the child and the aliens. That was fantastic. It showed a strong woman character without it being an agenda movie, which is what you got now. Now you have women, which are agenda movies, which is debasing the women, putting them in bad scripts with bad acting and bad dialogue in ridiculous situations, and then you put them in the screen. Oh, my God, the plastic surgery that's going on. Why are they doing this to Hollywood actresses? I have no idea. Other than you're doing it to denigrate them, to lessen their. What is more denigrating than a poor script, than poor direction or poor writing? What else? I mean, look back on some of the other movies. You want contemporary examples. Think about what was the woman from Terminator. That was a good example of a strong female lead, of watching a woman become a strong character through the Terminator movies. Linda Hamilton, that was it. That's a good example. Nobody talked about that as a strong woman at the time. Oh, there were some articles, but they didn't make it an agenda movie. They just happened to put a woman in a strong female lead. That's the way you do it. That's the way you build up women, not making an agenda movie with poor scripts and poor writing and poor direction. You just simply put a woman in a traditional male lead role. I can give you another most recent example of a good one. Rogue One, Star Wars movie. I don't know the name of the girl who did it. I forget. That was a strong female lead. And everyone attacked that movie. Do you know why? They said she didn't have enough lines. No, she was playing the strong silent type in that movie. That was a very good movie. It had a good script. And it was supposedly an agenda movie. I mean, right? It was Star Wars. But it wasn't. It didn't come across that. They didn't sell it as that. The marketing that is about women. What's strong women, strong characters? No, that's not what sells it to the American people. If you want to sell strong female leads, you show them in traditional male roles, and you don't sell it as an agenda movie. You sell it as, here's a good movie. It's like I said, Aliens and Terminator. No one said, oh, here's a strong woman movie. Other than some side articles from, you know, guys who had intellectualized the movie. It was sold as, here's a really good action movie. Here's a really good science fiction movie. That's the way you promote women. You want to promote women directors? Just hire them. And don't hire them because they're women. Hire them because they offer something. They can do movies in a different way or a better way. Women equality. You promote quality. And in the end, people will view women and men as equals instead of what you've done in Hollywood, which is debase them more than ever. Women are destroyed more than ever in Hollywood now. Let's talk a little bit more about that in the justice. Let's talk about like legal cases like the Bill Cosby case. We'll be right back.
Now don't I let you wash the car on Sunday. Don't I warn you when you're getting fat. Ain't I gonna take you fishing with me someday? Well, a man can't love a woman more.
Gifts of all sizes help to ensure that Liberty Never Sleeps remains a relevant, vital resource across our nation. More than 70% of the funding for Liberty Never Sleeps comes from our listeners through the generosity of membership support by donating at patreon.com. Join our Insiders Club for $10 a month and gain access to private shows and editorial columns. Go to libertyneversleeps.com and click on the Donate Now button at the top of the page or on the button at our Facebook site. Thank you for your continued support.
Maybe one of your solid affairs. But don't you come around here handing me none of your life. Here's a quarter, call someone who cares.
And we're back. I'm the first one to admit I'm a male chauvinist pig. I believe in manhood. You know the Tim Allen character? The tool belt guy? Women should be soft and feminine, that kind of thing. I should hold a door open for ladies. I still believe that. I'm old-fashioned. I'm a gentleman around, a strong, silent type around women. I'm just that way. I've always been that way. I've always been kind of a little shy with women. I've always been the strong, silent type. I mean, I've never had a problem attracting women or anything like that. I'm just saying, I never did all the things that I knew went on with women. like Bill Cosby. Bill Cosby had been a predator of women, apparently, for years. Right? I mean, he was out there drugging women and sleeping with them, taking advantage of them when they're inebriated. And in some cases, from what I understand, from what has been proven in a court of law, he was actually drugging them to have sex with them. That was his thing. That was his fetish or whatever. He got off on it. But why didn't Hollywood, who apparently knew this was going on for 30 or 40 years from the court case, from the testimony of women and from people who knew Cosby and had known it going on for years, why was it brought forth now? Well, as I said, and I've said before in many reasons, it was for political purposes. But think about it a minute. You're supposed to be protecting women. Men are, that's the role of traditional men. Malehood is protect the women. Now what are we doing to women on the justice front? We're saying, well, in order for them to be equal, we have to no longer hold doors open for them. We have to treat them on equal footing. Well, that's not right either. What are we doing with them in the Army and in the Air Force and in the Navy? Well, we're going to promote the idea of strong women, so we're going to put them on the front where they can get killed. Yeah, a society doesn't put women on the front. Does a society doesn't put their life givers as front-line combat soldiers? That's not right. That's not equality. That's not the... What is more debasing to a woman, throwing her into the role of combat so where they're exposed to PTSD and other all kinds of other horrors? I mean, it's got to be worse for a woman to be a prisoner of war than a man, right? How can you do that? How can you say that there's any kind of fairness or justice when you're treating women that way? That to me, I as I said, I'm old-fashioned. I believe in certain roles and certain characters and certain types, and apparently that's not desired anymore. No one wants a strong man. They all want the gamma male, the beta male, the Jeff Flakes of this world, the guys with the man buns and the pink shorts. In short, they're trying to castrate men as a way of making the world equal, as a way of equalizing women's on men's footing, and that's not right. Our Justice Department does it all the time. Take a look at family court. Have you been to a family court or see how it goes? Do you ever see a family court go in the way of the man? Laws are written specifically not to separate women from children, right? Paternity cases and whatnot. That, okay, I understand that. But our legal code is set up to debase women. That's what it's doing. And people think, well, no, it's being unfair to men. Well, yes, but it's in, the result of it is the debasement of women. Women are constantly coming forward now and saying, this guy attacked me. For instance, the Dr. Ford case, as we bring up this... As we're running out of time on the show, we bring it back home. Dr. Ford make an accusation of rape or attempted rape or assault or, as they say, sexual improprieties. Covers a whole field of things, right? She made an accusation. And the belief of that, without any proof, without any evidence, especially when all of the evidence indicates otherwise, when you say, I'm going to believe a woman simply because she said something, you're debasing a woman, not the man. Because you're saying that the credibility of a woman is based strictly on emotion, on the fact that they say something. And so what happens is all kinds of accusations come forward without evidence, right? The Me Too movement, let's make an accusation. This happened to me too. Well, what happens is the natural backlash. You don't have evidence. And so what do women look like? They look like hysterical, unbelievable nonsense, and the entire movement gets debased. That's what's going on in our justice system. What kind of accusations have been made against Dr. Ford? What kind of accusations were made against the Cosby accuser? I don't know what her name was off the top of my head. It's constant. Social media jumps all over women's records. Oh, well, she had 64 lovers by the time she was 19 or some shit like that, right? All the stories coming out on so many women that have come forward. What happened to Stormy Daniels? Stormy Daniels is hooking on a pole now. She made an accusation of Donald Trump. Now, okay, she was a porn star. But what happened to her? Where's her money? Where's her payoff? Where's the payoff of all these women have come forward that Gloria Allred brings forward? You know, women come with all Gloria Allred. They come parading out. She comes out in that stupid ratty pink suit. And she brings these women forward, and they make all these horrible accusations. Like they accuse, like what about the Roy Moore accuser? I was raped when I was 16. because he brought me up to Lover's Leap or whatever the name of that point was up in Alabama and signed my yearbook, and he hit on me and I felt bad and tore my clothes. And I went, what happened to her? Did she ever get a payoff? Did she ever get her day in court? Did she ever have justice? Our justice system runs roughshod over women too, because they're now pushing all of these stories, all of these allegations out, and exposing women to ridicule and whatnot. And there's a reason why women keep it silent, because they don't have any evidence in many cases. And the answer is not just believing women. It's to start looking at the things and making it possible for women accusers to come forward when it happens. That's the problem. Women don't feel that they can come forward when it happens, when you can prove something like this, when people can be interviewed, when the police can investigate. They're bringing the FBI investigation into what is a local police matter. And so our Justice Department, our entire system of justice, which is supposed to be blind, is also contributing to the war on women. And the Democrats never talk about, well, we need to bring all these women forward from 30 years ago. Well, no. What you need to do is make it possible for women to come forward in a confidential manner, instead, like Dr. Ford did, and keep it confidential so they're protected. That's what you have to do in society. You have to protect women. You can't just throw them out there and throw them to the wolves. And that's what the Democrats do. That's what the liberals do. That's the real unforgivable sin that's going on here. And it is unforgivable. You can't expose a woman to public ridicule like that. You can't expose their stories to public scrutiny. You bring all these women out on Twitter and Facebook, the Me Too movement. All you're doing is exposing these women to ridicule and attacks. That's not going to solve any problem. That's not going to solve the problem of the casting room couch. That's not going to solve the problem of inequality in Hollywood. Standing up at the Oscar ceremony saying, well, we need to hire more women directors, and put out pieces of shit like Ocean's 8. That's debasing women. And women shouldn't be a part of it either. They shouldn't do scripts unless they're paid properly. You know, there is a problem with unequal pay in women in Hollywood. As I said during the last segment, Hollywood doesn't do justice to women. Where is the equal pay? They say, well, we're paid lower. Well, why are you taking and accepting a script and a position that accepts lower pay? That's the problem. Your agents are the problem. No. Miss Stone or Miss Hathaway won't do this script unless she receives an equal amount to what Brad Pitt's getting. That's what should have happened. And it's not. Well, we'll just get somebody else to do it. Because why? The scripts are limited. Good writing is shot down in Hollywood. And that's what goes on in the Justice Department. Why would you expose women who make accusations to public scrutiny? No, they need to come forward in a fair way. Maybe ask the police departments to provide a tip line, an anonymous tip line specific to sexual cases. And it has to be done in 30 or 60 or 90 days. And people are saying, well, women can't come forward. Women are emotionally damaged by the attack. I understand that. But let's make a system that provides some sort of shelter for women so that they can come forward. And it doesn't have to be a government program. It doesn't have to be funded in a certain way. Individual police departments can do it. Why isn't that being talked about? Because that is an actual way to solve this, and that's not what they don't want. They want to continue to have the ways of Ted Kennedy, where women die in trunks of cars underneath bridges of water. That's what's, I mean, as I joke about this often, that Chappaquiddick, that's the first confirmed kill in the war on women. That's what's really going on here. The real war on women is from the left. It's from people like Hillary Clinton. Vote for me because of why? Because I'm a woman. That's debasing the women. No, you should vote for me because I believe in this and I believe in that. And I stand behind those principles. And here are the examples where my policies have worked, or things that I have done as Senator of New York. What did Hillary Clinton ever say? Said she was, what successes did she ever bring to the state of New York? What can she say has been her success in government? What is Dianne Feinstein's success? Leaking stories to the press, exposing Dr. Ford to public ridicule? My God, why isn't that being investigated? That's the kind of thing that lowers women in men's eyes. Because what is the natural reaction of men? Oh, she's lying. Oh, she's making it up. Oh, the fault. And what is worse is that people are being paid off in corporate settings because they don't want to go through the lawsuits. Like the case of Bill O'Reilly. Bill O'Reilly says to this day, all that didn't happen and whatnot. And why were these women paid off? Well, that's doing an injustice to women, because now what happens is people make false accusations. They get accusations to get paid off, and then accusers are viewed as basically working the system. That's debasing the women. No, you need to treat women equally. That's the true way. That's the real way if you want to bring equality to the table. If you want to bring equality in pay, you need to talk about the facts in a factual manner. If you want to bring equality to women in Hollywood, you need to negotiate for fair raise, fair pay. In other words, I don't do the movie unless I get the same pay as a man. And maybe men could be part of it too. No, women need to be paid the same as me. That's the only way to be fair. And then also you need to say, I'm not going to do that movie just because it's a woman's movie. I'm going to do that movie because the script is good. Women need to stand up for themselves there. And they need to stop playing into the hands of the casting room couch. You know, there was a story on a local news station about Harvey Weinstein and some of the things that he did. Not to go back to Hollywood, but I'm going to because it's so important. Harvey Weinstein, there was a hidden video. A woman came to him about social media, about how to sell his movies in social media. She was a social media expert. And she says, okay, this is what I do for a living, and this is how this is what I can do in social media. I see how I can generate all these likes for you and all of this action on your Facebook page. And Harvey goes, oh, that's pretty good. That sounds good. And then he starts to touch her. Reach out. And then he says, and he starts to hit on her. And what she does is she begins to flirt with him a little bit and then say no, right? And send him mixed signals. And eventually she filed suit against him. But here's the thing. Why do women feel the need to do that? Because the system is set up that way. He won't do business with her unless she does something. Why didn't you file a suit immediately? Why didn't you say something? Say to the guy, no, I'm not going to do that. Not do business with him. Well, because they're using their sexuality as a weapon too. And society creates that. Let's take a break. I have one last word about what we do in advertising and how we raise children. And the sexualization of children too. That goes on. We'll be right back.
Pick up the pieces and go home. What did she make?
And we're back. Well, I've only got a few minutes left. What goes on in advertising? How do you sell stuff? Sex, right? How do you sell makeup? How do you sell anything to women and men? Sex. You bring the pretty girl to sell out the car. What is the spokesmodel? You never see a male spokesmodel. You see women because sex sells, right? We all know about it. It's another front on the war on women. When you say, well, you need to wear more low-cut dresses in order to sell this car or this product. That's the real war on women. How are we raising our children? You know, they talk about this all the time. Well, you know, what we have to do is allow men to have put on dresses and play with girls' toys. No, debasing men is not the solution to equalizing the playing field. We raise kids to be sexual as little girls. We raise them, for instance, in the beauty pageant. Little kid beauty pageants is entirely inappropriate. The famous story of JonBenet Ramsey, daddy's a little tart. That's what we raise little girls to believe, that unless they behave in sexually inappropriate manner, society won't accept them. We do that in advertising. Society won't accept you unless you behave in a sexually appealing manner. When we sexualize children, we're raising them to become hookers. That's what's going on. You know, this is a terrible story, but I'm going to relate it. Buddy of mine, this is way years ago. We were sitting around the corner from an appointment. We were going to go visit a client to do a financial plan. We were presenting, and we were a little early. So we're sitting around the corner at a park in the car going through our paperwork. We say, okay, what do you got? What are you going to say? What are you going to talk? We're talking about our presentation. And a school bus pulls up. Two girls are walking toward us, and they look like they're 22, 23. And I look up and I go, hey, look at the girls. And they go, wow, you know, they're really attractive, so to speak, to put it mildly. And then a school bus pulls up in front of us and the two girls get on. Girls didn't look like that when I went to high school. I as a matter of fact, that day I went home and I checked my yearbook and I flipped through the yearbook. I don't know, they didn't look that way. They're dressing girls as hookers now at earlier and earlier in ages. What does our pop music culture dress women as and sexualize women? Our models are shown as waifish little girls instead of as women. The sexualization of women at an earlier and earlier age is another front on the war on women, and nobody says anything about it because it sells. Nobody is saying, hey, that's inappropriate to put your 9-year-old out in a dress, in a cocktail dress. It's inappropriate. And the debasement of men is going on constantly. Men should dress like women. Men should wear dresses, you know, the skirt looks and stuff like that. Oh, and there's all these intellectual reasons about why men should look like women. No, men should not shave off their chest hair. That's not helpful. That's not making women better because men look like women. That's not any kind of suggestion that we can make equality for society by debasing men, the castration of men. That's what feminism is all about now. It's not about promoting equality for women. It's about the debasement of men, the castration of men, making them metrosexual males. I mean, there can't be a more definitive, to bring it around back to the beginning of the show, there can't be a more definitive gamma male than Jeff Flake. I mean, look at the guy, right? He's always simpering. He's always crying about something. He's always got his head down. You know, it's not right. And, you know, he won't defend his own principles. What does Jeff Flake stand for? Nothing. What does he stand for in political principle? Nothing. It ain't conservatism. The new conservatism, I suppose. Basically simpering and begging for your vote. And that's why people in Arizona won't vote for him anymore. That's why he's not running. He won't even stand up and defend his principles and say, well, this is what I stand for, and this is why you should vote for me. He won't even go through that. He's so weak. Society doesn't want that. Women don't want that either, by the way. On a personal note, women don't want that. Women want men to be men. That's why there's a problem in society. You think, I mean, not to get too intellectual, but you wonder why women and women are turning more to other women, because they're no different from the men. Men are no longer men in society. They don't stand up for themselves. And if you do, you're jumped on, like the incident in the elevator. Oh, you're debasing me. No, I'm not. I'm saying that people need to present evidence in a court of law. We're out of time. This war on women is a war on sexuality. It's a war on society. And it's just dividing us apart further. It's debasing women into hookers and sexual objects, and it's debasing men into turning them into women. And it's just nonstop, and there's all these different fronts, and none of it is bringing any kind of civility back to society, as Jeff Flake insists that it is. We're out of time. I'm mad about the whole situation, you know? I'm mad about, you know, I'm old-fashioned. I believe in two sexes. I don't know what all these different sexes are. I really don't. Maybe I'm just an old white man, as they say. You know? LBGTQ per PYX. I can't keep it all straight. We're out of time. I hope you enjoyed today's show. We'll be back tomorrow. Take care, folks. Have a good one.
Hi, it's Jamie, Progressive number one, number two employee. Leave a message at the...
Hey, Jamie. It's me, Jamie. This is your daily pep talk. I know it's been rough going ever since people found out about your a cappella group, Mad Harmony, but you will bounce back. I mean, you're the guy always helping people find coverage options with the Name Your Price tool. It should be you giving me the pep talk. Now get out there, hit that high note, and take Mad Harmony all the way to nationals this year! Sorry, it's pitchy.
Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Lucky Land Casino, asking people, what's the weirdest place you've gotten lucky?
Lucky? In line at the deli, I guess?
Aha, in my dentist's office.
More than once, actually.
Do I have to say?
Yes, you do.
In the car before my kids' PTA meeting.
Really?
Yes.
Excuse me, what's the weirdest place you've gotten lucky?
I never win and tell.
Well, there you have it. You can get lucky anywhere, playing at LuckyLandSlots.com. Play for free right now. Are you feeling lucky? No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.